You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
More than half of the province's 70 courthouses had no duty counsel this week. Another 32 had limited access. Duty counsel are the lawyers who normally represent people for first-time appearances or those without a lawyer. The Trial Lawyers Association took the job action to draw attention to round after round of cuts to the legal aid system. Rishi Gill is a Vancouver criminal defense lawyer and co-chair of the Legal Aid Action Committee of the Trial Lawyers Association. And Rishi Gill joins me in the studio this morning. Hello, Rishi.
Hi.
Why did you choose to start this job action now?
Well, it basically was just lawyers becoming increasingly frustrated with how the system was going. And there is sort of a breaking point, and I suppose it could have started 5 years ago or 10 years ago. But there was no particular moment where we said, this is the perfect time. It was more that this is pretty much the end of our ropes and let's get something done. And I think if anybody's following legal news, they'll see that last year, in March 2010, Leonard Doust, QC, who is one of the most respected lawyers in this province, came out with a report after doing a lot of studies across the province and meeting stakeholders in the justice system. And his Doust report said that our system is collapsing, and he has no agenda. Chief Judge Bauman of our Supreme Court gave a speech in Las Vegas at the Canadian Bar Association annual convention, basically saying the same thing, that we're close to collapse. Judges at the provincial court level are saying the same thing. I think probably police are saying the same thing. And if you listen to the public, they're probably fed up as well. So, you know, was the timing right? Well, it wasn't wrong. I suppose any time to start is a good time.
Now, on the end of last year, December 30th, the province announced an extra $2.1 million in funding to the Legal Services Society for Family and Child Protection Services. Is that significant?
The money is not significant itself as a figure, as an amount. It's marginal. I mean, the cuts have been probably $50 million in old dollars, okay? 2000, let's say $2, where the budget was there. So it's probably a lot more when you account for inflation. So the money itself is not significant, but it's certainly helpful, and it's certainly telling that after years and years and years of cuts, they've finally put something back into the system. So it's a start, and it's a good sign, but it's not enough to certainly solve the problem.
Well, let's take a look at those numbers a little bit. You mentioned $50 million that was cut from the system. How does the amount of legal aid available now compare with, say, 10 years ago?
Oh, well, it's at least 50% less in real terms, I think, if you account for inflation. And the crime of it is, if I can put it that way, that in the 90s, under the previous government, the NDP government, and let's be fair here, this isn't just a Liberal government thing. It's gone under the NDP and it's gone under the Liberals, and you know, a pox on both houses. But excuse me, in the 90s, early 90s, under the NDP, a tax was put in place on lawyers' fees. Okay, that all lawyers' fees, whether you're a corporate lawyer, whether you're a family lawyer, whether you're a criminal lawyer, any lawyer in Vancouver, all of a sudden now their clients had to pay a tax. And it was a 7% tax on fees. Okay, so that money, the intent was for it to fund legal aid, and it's more than sufficient. It probably raises over $100 million a year in taxation. That's more than enough to fund the system. Now, what happens is the NDP decides once the tax is in place, boy, you know, let's just put this into general revenues, and we'll figure it all out. So the money has just been almost diverted. Okay, so it's almost like it's been stolen, basically, or misappropriated from the most needy people to general revenues. And when the Liberals, again, to show you how dirty and silly politics can be, when the Liberals were in opposition, the then justice critic Jeff Plante was, you know, decrying that, and no, this is disgusting, and how dare the NDP do this, not fund the system. So assuming, well, that's great. So I guess when the Liberals get in, they're going to put it back. Well, the Liberals obviously did get in. Jeff Plante becomes Attorney General, and Jeff Plante does the exact same thing and says, oh, well, I never promised. I mean, that's literally what he said. Well, I never made a promise I would do it. You know, I criticized them, but that doesn't mean I was going to do it. I mean, ridiculous. So Jeff Plante gets basically censured by lawyers across the province who had an extraordinary meeting around 2002, and they say, you know, we don't have any faith in your abilities to be a lawyer because what you've done. And, you know, since then, it's just continually declined even further. So what people have to remember is there is money available. It's just not been put in the right place, and it's a shame.
Do you have a sense of the percentage of the money that comes from that legal tax that goes into General Irvine's that comes back out in some form of legal aid?
I would say, I mean, we're getting an information request in to sort of nail this down, but I would say conservatively, only about, you know, 60% of the money, if that, would be coming in. Okay, the rest of it is put into general revenues. We would estimate there's between $100 and $200 million that's being generated per year. So let's even take the lower figure of $100 million. Well, the budget this year is now $68 million, and that's including the $2 million that was just put in. So certainly, I think that's a conservative estimate. So certainly, the is a significant portion not going into where it should be going.
Shirley Bond, BC's Attorney General Shirley Bond, said that the job actions primarily aimed at seeking an increase in the rate paid to lawyers who provide legal aid services, and so that if they were to then give an increase in that rate, it'll simply mean that fewer people are going to get support. So what's your response to
that? Well, that's an absolutely disingenuous comment. And to be polite about it, the minister's either knowingly misstating facts, I'll put it that way, or she's clueless about her own ministry and how the system works, because she knows very well that we have no control over how the money's spent as lawyers. That's a legal services society is an independent arm's length agency that runs it. Legal services is trying to fill and the positions that are being withdrawn. That's their mandate. So they're not necessarily in cahoots with us. I mean, it's their business. We're trying to get money for them. How they spend it is up to them. But clearly that question legal services could tell you is wrong. And I will say it's wrong. And that's the dirtiness of politics, which we have to live with. She's obviously deliberately misstating things to try to get, we would surmise, the public to think, oh, it's these greedy lawyers. You know, these lawyers just want to line their own pockets and they'd like to become richer, and they're so rich already, and it's disgusting. That's a nonsense game, and the public's not going to get snowed by that, and we're not going to stand for that. So I'm not too impressed with their comments, but, you know, I'm not too impressed with politicians generally, so...
I want to look at what the effect is on the whole system of cuts in the system, but of cuts to legal aid. But before I do that, can you clarify, we all make assumptions about like what legal aid's for and who that might go to. What should, if the system was fully funded, who would be getting aid in what circumstances?
Well, I think when people think of legal aids, to start off at first principles, they think of criminal law. And I'm a criminal lawyer. And that's what people, I think the first thing that comes to their head is that, well, that means that if somebody's charged with murder or whatever, they get legal aid. But it actually encompasses far more. It's family law. It's poverty law. There's immigration law. So there's a lot of different variables. And family law is actually a real big problem now, because people who are involved in the system are, for the most part, not represented. They take an enormous amount of time out of the court system because an unrepresented party takes so long to represent or get them through, I should say, the system when they're not represented. And so you've got single mothers that are trying to get maintenance enforced. You've got families that are trying to get their children back. You've got tenants that maybe are trying to get their damage deposits back from their land. I mean, lots of things where people at the margins of society are certainly immensely affected. But even the middle class is affected when the courts are clogged up and when even a middle class person can't afford to run a proper suit and get justice through the system. And this fight, if I can put it that way, is about access to justice more than anything else. It's about people having fair and efficient and equitable access to justice. We all have to have that in a stable society.
Now you've been quoted as saying that more legal aid will mean fewer inefficiencies in the system and a net savings in costs. So what do you mean by that?
Well, basically, if for example, let me put it this way. If you were to go through the court system on your own, okay, and I'm sure you're a very intelligent person, probably much more than I am, but if you were to go in there unrepresented on a matter that clearly you need some guidance on, it's going to take you, in your capacity as a layperson, three or four times conservatively as long as it would take me, who again is not Mr. Genius, but just somebody who knows the law, that's my profession, to get you through the system and do the properly and see where the problems might lie and what the issues are. So when you think of what the waste of time on that is for the courts, it's immense. When you think about it on a criminal context, which is what my particular expertise is, if you've got somebody, let's say, who is not represented at all and has to deal with bail, let's say, and should properly get bail but can't really put the case together, so he's got to be put over another week before it can be dealt with because he doesn't have a lawyer in place. So what does that cost? I mean, it costs the transportation costs to get this person back to jail. It costs the housing costs in jail. It costs time for a judge to sit there and listen to an unrepresented party who's doing the best they can but doesn't really know what's going on. I mean, it's ridiculous. And the Canadian Bar Association of BC has run the numbers. And if somebody goes to their website, CBABC, they'll see that the studies have shown that the inefficiencies, if they were knocked out, would more than compensate for any money put into the system.
Now, you mentioned the legal report by Leonard Doust, and which came out last March, and he said that legal aid was an essential public service. Why is it an essential public service?
Well, I think we look at what do we think of essential public services. We think of health and we think of education. Roads, but really it's health and education, and those are essential public services. The reason we should also be thinking of the justice system as an essential public service because, maybe I'm biased here, but our system functions on laws. I mean, the reason we have a stable, as much as possible, society is because we're based on the rule of law. And when one looks at what it's like to maybe do business in countries even like China or Russia, where their legal system is not necessarily as stable or as rule-based, you can see that it causes a lot of problems for the proper functioning of society. And I sat down with a group of Chinese lawyers about a month ago, they were here, and I talked to them about our legal system. And, it was really interesting seeing the contrasts. So we should really be thinking about how important it is to have laws respected and enforced properly, and also to allow people to have access to those laws for their own protection and benefit.
Now, Doust also talked about one of the most pressing concerns being the lack of legal aid for what's known as poverty law issues. Can you say a bit more about that?
Well, I mean, poverty law issues occur constantly because the people living at the margins of society are trying to navigate an already brutal system, and where legal protections really come into play in the most important way. And, it's people that have been evicted, let's say, from their residences for not a good reason. It's people living in the downtown east side who are living in horrible conditions that need to have some redress and need to have their tenancy rights enforced, okay? It's things like that. And those people aren't sophisticated. Even the typical middle-class person would find it tough to get through the system, for good or bad. Maybe the system's too complex. That's a different debate. But certainly we can't expect those at the margins of society, in the weakest spots of society, the most sensitive and vulnerable spots, to somehow figure things out. It's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. And it doesn't cost that much in the big scheme of things. When we think about what we blew on a lot of things in this province, what we pay, certain Crown Corporation heads in this province. And, everybody deserves to make as much as they can. I'm not anti-capitalist by all means, but certainly we can afford to put the money in there. That's all there is to it, and I'll be happy to debate any person from the government who wants to say it otherwise. Even our economy being in deficit, we're in far better shape than much of the world economies, and we're going to continue to be able to go forward properly.
What are the plans for the coming weeks if you don't get a commitment or more funding from the province?
Well, number one, looks like we do have a meeting through the trial lawyers with the Attorney General. It's going to be scheduled for sometime in the next, before the end of January. Our announced goal, and this is not a secret to the government, was we would stagger this by the first week of January, the first 2 weeks of February, the first 3 weeks of March, and then all of April. This last week went exceptionally well. It's far better than our expectations as far as compliance, unity of lawyers, public support, media coverage. And that was only a very small taste of it. That was 4 days. It was a holiday week. Once we get into February, that's half the month. From March 1st to April 30th, there'll be 1 week of duty counsel that we'll provide. I mean, if they can find people to fill that much of a gap, that's great. I guess for them, that's their mandate. But we will stay united. We will go forward, and we will not budge on this one. I mean, we are open to negotiate and talk about terms of funding, but we're not going to walk away from this. So it's not going to get better, that's for sure. And the possible result at the end of the day could be lawyers withdrawing from the most serious cases, which is what happened in Ontario. So no lawyers available, or no competent lawyers anyways, to defend murder cases, to defend gang cases, to defend the most serious crimes, and just saying, look, we're not sorry, but if you're not prepared to take the justice system seriously, we can't be a party to it. So just deal with it as you may.
Well, thank you very much for joining me this morning, and we'll be following the story for sure.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. I've been speaking with Rishi Gill. He's a Vancouver criminal defense lawyer and co-chair of the Legal Aid Action Committee of the Trial Lawyers Association.